For the next two Sundays, I'm going to be talking about the message of the angels. Angels are a very important part of Christmas and the traditions and stories and events that happen around Christmas. Today, we're going to be looking at the angels' message specifically to Joseph, but also a message that is a message for each of us personally as well, and that is, you know, how are you going to handle your responsibility for the Christ child? And so it's not meant to simply be specifically for Joseph. It's the message of the angel for us as well. As we begin this first Sunday of preparation and moving towards Christmas, I likened it unto being on a cruise ship where there's a lot of music and dancing and food and recreation. And every once in a while, a thoughtful person kind of wanders towards the bow of the vessel to the pointy part, as somebody told me at an 8 o'clock service this morning, up to the very front and ask the question, where are we going and will it be okay when we get there? And as we begin this a season of preparation for Christmas, that same question comes up, I think, in all of our lives in our journey. Even though we may be in extremely good times, there's just something occasionally about wandering up to the front of the vessel as we make our journey of life and asking, where are we ultimately going and will it be all right when we get there? And Joseph is in that predicament. And when we intentionally begin to ask those deeper, significant questions of life, then God always has a message for us, I'm convinced. And he had a message for Joseph as well. So just relax and let me read the appearance of the angel to Joseph from Scripture, from the first chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we pause to give you these moments in our lives as we make our beginning towards Bethlehem. Open us up because you have a message from an angel for each and every one of us, a very special and remarkable message that each and every one of us need to hear in our own way and in our own space and in our own lives. And so help us, we pray, to align ourselves with Joseph and respond to you in whatever way you ask us individually to take care of your son, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The message of the angels, of course, are messages for us. I personally have never seen an angel. However, I have experienced a spiritual being, as I've shared with you before, who accompanied me during a very difficult part of my journey in life, whose face I never saw, but whose countenance, likeness, is very pleasant and has been very helpful to me and comforting in many difficult situations. The word angel basically just means messenger. It doesn't have to be an angelic messenger, just a messenger. You notice when you read the scripture that it says the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Lord. Messengers of the Lord, who are angels, can also be human. in most of our lives, if we have not experienced a messenger of the Lord in a spiritual form, we have certainly experienced God's powerful presence in the voice, in the presence, in the message of people who are around us. And I'm convinced that God is the originator of both of those messengers, whether that comes from an angel or whether it comes from another human being. Because God interacts with us and guides our lives, just as he is guiding Joseph's life in the story that we are reading today. Human angels are really powerful people in our lives. I believe I could point to most any one of you, and you could stand up and offer a story or an incident in your life where when you were desperate and lost and confused, that someone came along and gave you a message that you know came beyond this individual who spoke that message to you. One of my angels, just to kind of put some flesh on this, is a pastor who retired this year, who has contracted Parkinson's. Hero of mine, when we finished seminary, I was a year ahead of him. He was appointed to Mobile, Alabama. No land, no money, no people, no church, nothing. And through the years, I have watched him just build a fabulous congregation there, recognized throughout the nation. And that's just a miracle, because most pastors can't move from, like business people, from one level to the next. People generally get hung up at some level, and then that's as far as they can go. And my friend Jeff has just done a magnificent work. When I went back into the ministry, as I like to say, when I came out of an administrative position, my prayer was, because I'd seen so many people leave the local church, go into administration, and never be able to make the adjustment back to the pastorate after that, my prayer was, my desire was, to be effective in the ministry and to continue to be a local church pastor. And Jeff, after my 8 years in my former congregation, transitioning then to this congregation, Cokesbury, Jeff just quietly saddled up to me one day and said, "Paul," he said, "you know, you have never had as much experience and wisdom as you have now. Just go and be yourself and be the pastor where God is sending you." And boy, it was just like it just cleared the air for me and gave me the guidance that I have returned to time after time. And I can't say that that was anything less than the angel of the Lord who spoke God's breath into me and encouraged me to continue in the ministry. And I appreciate that so very much. And I'm grateful to a friend who was, to me, an angel of God. The angel of God has some interesting things, of course, to say to Joseph. And one is, he is in this situation of Mary expecting a child outside of wedlock, a difficult situation, to say the least, there's a message for Joseph. I like the way these verses start in verse 20. It says, when Joseph had resolved, or when Joseph had considered what he needed to do, or when Joseph had made up his mind to put Mary away quietly, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. It's kind of a man thing, you know. I know how guys kind of wrestle with making up their minds and going through those steps, you know. And Joseph thought, well, you know, I got it now. I've decided what I'm going to do, and this needs to take place. Then God shakes everything up from the top to the bottom by coming through the voice of the angel and saying, you know, don't be afraid to take Mary home with you. It just kind of comes with that edginess that most of us need to hear when we've made up our mind. Even using the best information that we have, there's a spiritual side to this as well. Don't be afraid. The angel's words are a little different to me. Don't be afraid can be a command, But it also can be very reassuring, can it? And which was it meant to be? I think a combination of both. Don't be afraid. I'm an angel of the Lord here appearing to you in a dream. That can be pretty reassuring, I would think. But at the same time, you take Mary home with you. So it's a combination of a command and these words of reassurance that Joseph is receiving from God. We all live with our fears in life. They are quite insidious. I watched some of Macy's parade on Thanksgiving Day. It's part of my mother, my inheritance from my mother. It was always special. Thanksgiving was her holiday. Her mother and father outlived her, so she and Dad would always go home to South Carolina at Christmas. So for my siblings and myself and our families, Thanksgiving was Mother's holiday. It's what we called it, Mother's holiday. And there would always be the Macy's parade. And you remember in the parade how often they mention that the streets were lined with people. ISIS had called, of course, for a terrorist attack. The marchers were there conducting the parade, and this constant sense of assurance and this affirmation that we as a nation are not going to let someone else dictate how we live our lives. But there was that sense that a bit of caution, but also that kind of undertones, you know, don't be afraid. Today is about Thanksgiving. Today is about the fact that God does provide whatever we need in life, and it was that assurance. Don't be afraid, both as words of assurance as well as basically a command. There is within all of us all kinds of fears: fear of failure, fears that relate to us financially. Can we be taken care of? Will we have enough? Fear of shame, fear of being thought too little of by somebody that you respect, the fear of relationships. All of those fears are more personal than things that are the bigger fears and threats in life. But all of us have fears, and they express themselves in different ways. My Rita and I have been looking for another vehicle for her over the last 6 weeks, I guess, or so, just kind of a casual conversation, not one outside of our budget necessarily, not something to bring a lot of anxiety, really something to be a gift for Rita. And I've just had this underlying anxiety about this whole process, don't particularly like negotiating on cars anyway, and you know, going through that drill, but certainly glad to do it for her. And along the way yesterday, as we were driving back from Daphne, I said, you know, there's just something about this process that I don't understand, why I have been so anxious through all of this time. And I said, I think I have figured it out today. And I said, do you remember when we purchased not our very last vehicle, but the Ford Explorer that I drive, we purchased that vehicle just a few days before we were involved in an accident. And you had never ridden in the vehicle. My son-in-law and I managed that decision, and Rita was employed, and there were just all kinds of dynamics there. Not something I would very deliberately do, but we had made that choice, When we came out of the hospital after an extended period of time, we couldn't go back to the car that was in the accident. And so there was just this disconnect about this process that happened 6 years ago, that there are some things I just had not processed. And I just felt this weight on my shoulder, this unrealistic anxiety about it all, this shadow over all of it. And all of a sudden, I realized those fears were all of a sudden coming about. This was the vehicle that we tenuously started driving after all that happened, and how difficult it was to get her in and out with the body cast and all of that at that point. And I just realized I had gone back and just seized on that emotionally. And I said, can we just kind of hit the stop button for a little bit and process this maybe through the end of the year and then start again, I think I'll be far more ready to do that. I say all of that to say within all of us, there are these fears that all of us have this trap door kind of in our hearts that every once in a while just falls out. And all kinds of demons and bad memories and anxieties can just kind of take us over, and we don't even connect that for quite some time as to understand, why am I feeling this way? And I know that story sounds ridiculous. You know, you probably want to say, well, Paul, just get over it, and I will. But at the same time, those things have to be processed and dealt with. And in the shadows of our lives, even as we work on these services of hope and remembrance, as we move into these days of memories of family gatherings from our childhood, those things that just kind of shaped and formed us through these holidays, all of us will bring in to these times things that need to be processed and dealt with. And I'm grateful for what our church is doing. But the angel says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid appears about 100 times in Scripture. Somebody wrote a book that said that it appeared 365, equaling every day of the year. I don't know that it's in there that much, but it's in there a lot more than love your neighbor and a lot of other very important Scriptures that are there, because it's significant that God messages to us to not be afraid. Maya Angelou, a poet laureate of America for a period of time, writes about hope and fear, and she says it in this way, as only Maya Angelou could say it. She says, fear and hope cannot occupy the same space, so invite one or the other to stay. And it's just so powerful and poetic and gentle, the way she says it. She doesn't say, just throw out fear once and for all, because there's just that underlying knowledge that she has that fear is always hanging around the edges and is willing to step back in and take over at any point. But we make that decision, you know, what we will choose and what we will focus on and what we will believe. And it's not just once the decision is made, everything to do with fear is done. I like the way she approaches it. It's powerful, and I think it's a very real and realistic way of looking at fear and dealing with fear. And so she says it in the same way, I think, that we hear it in this scripture today, because do you think that the fear and anxiety of what should I do here for Joseph was over after the dream? Why, no, it wasn't over after the dream. You know, this thought, well, what can I do, you know, to save my Mary's reputation? He resolved to put her away quietly. Engagement was more than it is in our society. It's kind of an agreement contract between two people, but in their society, it was an agreement for the whole community. You were treated as a couple, even though you lived apart during your engagement for that year. And so there was no way the community could not take notice of this, and the notice that Mary was expecting. And Joseph, being righteous and being a person of the law, had decided what he needed to do, and it was a good decision. But it wasn't God's decision for this particular situation, was it? So as he moved on, you just know that there were decisions he made day after day. That he would exercise a higher ethic. One of the things you need to notice is that the reference to Joseph in the Gospel of Matthew was that he was a righteous person who followed the law. But he is an example for Matthew, who writes from the Jewish perspective, when Jesus said, I want your righteousness, your right living towards God, to exceed the scribes, the students of the law, and the religious people of the temple. I want your ethic to be higher. There was an higher ethic that Joseph was going to exercise and act on that was even above the expectation of those who prescribe to the faith of this particular time. And so it is just this huge challenge that Joseph embraces to lead with the Spirit and to follow God's way. And he began that by knowing that he didn't need to be afraid that God was with him. It continues to say that Mary is expecting, has conceived because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to see the importance here that God is always working in our lives. Even when things can look the worst and be the worst and be disappointing, God is always working. It's not necessarily that things reverse in such a way that everything just smooths out automatically, but God is always working, not just around the edges, but in the midst of our lives. We have some friends who haven't traveled outside of the country for quite some time, and we've been encouraging them to. Their son, who is in the Air Force, is deployed to Europe right now. He's an engineer type. And he encouraged his mom and dad to come over and visit Germany, and they rented a car and drove across France, through Paris, over to Normandy. Fabulous family memory and kind of breaking the barrier of getting back out into the world again. And it all started from a friend of a friend who tweeted, "It's a glorious time to be living in Paris." And this young lady, friend of the family, was writing, "You know, I have never seen people more side by side, more unified, pulling together in a community after all of those horrible terrorist attacks than I am seeing right now. It is just a glorious time to be in Paris." That's not to say that those terrorist attacks were God's will, that God had any design on them whatsoever. But out of that terrible time for France and for Paris in particular, there has become this revival of what it means to be a city and what it means to hang together and to rise above the terrible circumstances that they have endured. And that's the work of God that is working always in every situation, no matter how terrible and that it might be. God is still there. And we affirm, even in this story, circumstances that were not easy for Joseph, that he was willing to get outside of his comfort zone, get outside of the, you know, what's the minimum legally I'm expected to do, and say, you know, I'm going to respond. And he gives to us that supreme example of what it means to take care of Jesus. That's what this story is about. Jesus can be very inconvenient in our lives. And sometimes when everybody's going the other way and everyone is saying something that's contrary to our gut feeling, and someone is being perhaps ostracized and treated badly, oh, it's pretty hard to raise your hand and say, you know, I'm going to take care of Jesus in this situation. I'm going to be with Jesus. We're going to take care of Jesus. I've got Mary. The rest of you go and do whatever you want to within your life, but I've got Jesus. And that's the real challenge of the Scripture. It's not just about the angel to Joseph and the work of God behind the scenes. It's a challenge to each and every one of us to know that God is working. And then God is with us. Emmanuel, spelt with an I, is Hebrew. Spelt with an E is Romanized. Our language, coming out of Latin, coming out of Rome, we prefer, of course, the E. Kind of goes along with how we verbalize things. But Emmanuel, that God is with us, and that he's in our midst, and that he is in our lives. I look around the sanctuary, I just marvel at what some wonderful people did on Saturday with the Chrismon tree. This year we've got it lit. Isn't that fabulous? Last year we never got the Chrismon tree, the light. I hate to confess that after a whole year, but it is gorgeous. And this beautiful star comes in a box. Every one of those little radiant spires that come out of it is independent. It takes a ton of screws and a lot of patience to put that thing together. And that wonderful family has done this for years and years for us, and it is magnificent. And thanks for already the additions that are beginning to make this place look like the preparation for Christmas. I'm not really good at those kinds of things. I call this kind of my bah humbug season of the year. My poor wife has to kind of bear that burden alone at home. Things will explode in our home tomorrow, and it'll be in disarray for about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, until Miss Rita gets everything like she wants it. I mean, I'm kind of the guy, you know, looks at the coffee table and says, you know, there should be a cloth that you just roll up at the end of the season and then unroll the next season and blah, there it's there, you know. Doesn't work that way, believe me. Everything has to be different, and it's kind of the mood, and, you know, all of that comes into it. I kind of tend to be like the guy who gets the inflatables for the yard, those terrible-looking inflatables. I mean, they are, I hate to say it, they're piteous, you know, that has a little blower, and you plug it in, and whoom, you know, there's the snowman or the shepherd or whoever, you know, and there's a parable to this, so hang in there with me for a minute. But, you know, during the day, they unplug the blower, and so the whole thing just collapses down. It's just a pile of plastic, you know, on the yard. It looks so terrible when it does that, you know. And but I'm thinking as we hear this story from Scripture, you know, it's the Holy Spirit blowing within our lives that allows us to have the volume and to be able to have the presence and to be able to have the wind and Spirit of God working within our lives. Mary, the angel says, is with child because of the Holy Spirit. Mary had within her the Holy Spirit and the Son of God. Friends, that's a message, isn't it? Mary had within her the Holy Spirit and the Son of God. And you know, you and I have the privilege as well to have within us the Holy Spirit and the Son of God. St. Paul says to the young preacher Timothy, God didn't give you a spirit of cowardice and fear. God has given you power and given you love and giving you discipline as well, guided by the Spirit. This story is meant to breathe life into us as well, to let us know how special we are. How special we are as we identify with Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Joseph, he took care of her. She wouldn't have made it without Joseph. Both powerful people in the life of Christ. And both just diligently carrying out the will of God within their life. We are meant to hear this story, knowing it's a story for us and for our times as well. Isaiah, in his writings, talks about finally God being with us in a very special way, that God is above us, and God is beside us, and God is with us, and God is beneath us as well. And we're not meant to be strong. Joseph wasn't meant, it didn't say, Joseph, grit your teeth and you know, pull up your laces and do this on your own. But he says, this child will be Emmanuel, and this will be God with you. And whatever the challenges are, Joseph, know that I am working. Know that this is a work, not to save you from Herod or from Rome, but to save my people from their sins. And as we look into the future and we ask where we're going then from the front of the cruise ship of life, we can be confident to say we're headed towards God's destination, and all will be well when we get there. If you can get that picture of that message in your mind, then there's just no limit to what this season can mean to you, how it can transform your life, because you've been entrusted with the Holy Spirit, and you've been entrusted with the Son of God, His only begotten, lovely Son. And along with Joseph, God asks us in this scripture, what are you going to do with the baby? And will you step up? Will you step up and take care of my son? Let's pray together. God, I thank you for this day and for the message of the angels. We need those messages, Lord, because life can be bruising and difficult, and we can be fragile, and it's easy to become complacent and to simply sit down and let life pass us by. But you have a message for each of us about how to take care of your son, how to take care of one another, how to stay connected with you and connected to the mission, and how you are moving us all forward as we look at this week of the first week of Advent preparation for Christmas. Just a reminder, our lives also are moving forward. The time for duty, the time for serving, the time for lifting up Jesus, the time for embracing the mission is now. And so we pray that you would guide and inspire all of us, that we may, in our own way, take care of the gift of your Son, take care of the way that we can interpret to those around us and to our world that we have a God that's at work. We have a God that's present with us. We have a God that's strong enough to defeat whatever might be holding us back or binding us up in life. We trust your Son. We appreciate the gift. Help us, we pray, to treat him tenderly. Amen.